From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. This weekend, the weekend of August 2nd and 3rd, is the Newport Folk Festival. NPR Music will webcast 5 hours of music on Saturday afternoon and then again on Sunday afternoon with our radio partners WFUV. The Newport Folk Festival has quite a history for the outcasts of popular music. They shared music and tunes. It was a place for beatniks and the politically left to gather. It's where Bob Dylan surprised his acoustic-loving fans with an electric band in 1965. Some loved it, but plenty of people thought he betrayed them. In later years, the festival fell on hard times and has done some struggling to find its identity. After all, what is folk music these days? This year, Newport is making a statement by inviting artists you might not think of as folk artists. Cat Power, Trey Anastasio, Brandi Carlile, and a group called the Young at Heart Chorus. I have to say, I was a bit lukewarm when I thought about this festival, but then I learned how musicians love the challenge of Newport and finding ways to play their songs with a different slant. So Jim James of My Morning Jacket will come and play an acoustic set, and Calexico are thinking of songs to play they wouldn't normally think to play. You can see a list of the artists by going to npr.org/Newport Folk Festival. So I called up one of the folks that helped pick this lineup of acts. Jay Sweet, why don't you tell me first your title, and then we'll figure out how it is you went about figuring out what artists to put in this music festival.
Well, I'm the editor-at-large of Paste Magazine, and I also happen to be the associate producer of Newport Folk Festival.
Now, somebody must have come to you and said, Jay, we want to do something with Newport. Could you help us book it? I imagine that's the way it must have happened.
Yeah, it was something right along those lines. It was just so happens that I know the team at Festival Network, and we've been mutual fans of each other. And
Festival Network is?
Festival Network is the group that owns Newport Folk and Newport Jazz and a whole plethora of other amazing destination festivals around the world, actually. So, you know, it really came out of a conversation about what is folk music. And out of that conversation, just out of a lot of these conversations with some of the other producers and some of the people who own the Festival Network, I kind of fell right into the place. You know, we all brought a lot of amazing stuff to the table. And when you get a lot of people who are very passionate, enthusiastic, and musical omnivores, you tend to get some really good lineups.
All right, so that's the crux. There is the what is the folk music? I don't know how old you are, but
I'm 38 years old.
My guess was that you didn't attend Newport in the 60s.
I missed that.
Yeah,
So although I'm very upset, I missed that.
Okay, and you blame your parents for it, too.
I do often.
There's history, and when people say Newport Folk Festival, that's the first thing they think of. That's got to be the first thing you thought of when they came to you, is Joan Baez, Pete Seeger, and certainly Bob Dylan. But they didn't come to you to ask Pete Seeger to come play the folk festival. You guys are saying you had a conversation about what is folk music, and what was your feeling? What did you bring to the table?
Well, I think at first, to mark what you first said, is I was unbelievably nervous. You know, one does not go into something that has the heritage of Newport folk lightly, thinking that, you know, that what they say means anything to anybody. So it was a sense of humility and utter nervousness to enter, you know, into this conversation with some of these people and the stalwarts who've managed to, you know, make this the 49th anniversary of an event that was really the granddaddy and the beginning of the whole festival scene, which we now live and inhabit. So that was the first thing, was just utter fear, for lack of a better word. But then, you know, with the urging of this team, of wanting to broaden the conversation, I fit right in. And that ended up being my piece of the puzzle, was, look, you know, let's talk about ways that we can really incorporate, and I don't mean, and I think a term that's used a lot when talking about this is what demographics, and I think it's more of a psychographic than a demographic.
What do you mean by that?
I mean by that is, you know, it's easy to say that people want to do programming to bring in a demographic, meaning a certain age. And I tend to disagree with that, thinking, you know, let's program about bringing in a certain psychographic, which basically means a certain paradigm of how people think about music. I mean, I knew, you know, there are friends compatriots and associates of mine who are much older and much younger who love the same music. And that, to me, is the important thing. I think that Newport has always served more of a sophisticated listener. It's not for your average fan. It's really a place where you go to discover new music or to hear music that you think you know and done in a different way. For example, you know, this is the place where the Pixies went acoustic. From Bob Dylan going electric to the Pixies going acoustic to Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine doing the Night Watchman here, which was mind-blowing, really. So, you know, you may think you know Tom Morello, but until you see Tom Morello at Newport Folk, that's a whole different thing. And I think that type of dichotomy of a place where artists come to try new things and really push the boundaries of what they do, this has always been the place.
Who were the first people that came to mind?
The very first thing that popped out, strangely enough, actually, wasn't the first name you expect, is Brandi Carlile. And that was more of I had... had been at a recent industry event in New York. It was kind of a private bash, and Sunvolt was there, as was Beck, as was Joseph Arthur, and some amazing artists, just kind of having, basically, for lack of a better term, a kind of a hootenanny, you know, just a private open mic kind of thing. And when I saw her, I'd heard her albums before and thought, wow, what an incredible voice, but that doesn't really jump out at you as potentially someone who would be great for Newport Folk. But then seeing her live and seeing the way she captured a crowd that not a whole lot of people in that crowd really knew her name at that point, and was blown away just by the way she interacted, the way she delivered herself and her music, and having been someone who's been at Newport Folk for years and years as a fan, as a reporter, as a consultant, And I just said this. It struck me that she's somebody. And so, you know, that was one of the first people that jumped in, as somebody that a lot of people are fans of, and she has a rabid following. But that would really work well and do well in an audience that is very, very, you know, shall I say, like I said, I go back to saying sophisticated, where they really expect the best out of these artists. You know, I'm not saying it's a tough crowd. It's a very knowledgeable crowd, so you can't just kind of throw things off or over them. They'll, you know, you need to be on your A game when you come play Newport. So that was one of the first names, and then everything, then opportunities, then the fun, the juices just started flowing.
And so, I'm going to bludgeon it over the head for just a few more minutes, which is that they didn't decide to call it the Newport Music Festival. They kept the word folk in there.
Great.
And
yep.
the debate over folk music, I'm sure, is longer ago than Dylan, because some people wouldn't call Dylan folk music in many ways. I mean, even as
I'm
far back as that.
I'm glad you said it, not me, Bob.
That's right. And, you know, even groups like the Kingston Trio, who are part of, who, if it wasn't for them playing at the jazz festival, there might not have been a folk festival. And even those folks weren't considered by many.
I would consider Kingston Trio an amazing pop band.
Right. But back then, you would, if you worked in a record store, you'd throw them in the folk bin.
Of course. But they were, once again, they were on a major label.
That's right. But they were part of a folk, what was called a folk revival, the pop side of the folk revival.
Exactly.
For sure.
So it goes to show, which I think is what you're going at, is how do we define this term? Why is it called the Newport Folk Festival and not the Newport Freedom Festival or the Newport Music Festival or the Newport Eclectic Music Festival? You know, and to add to that is I always like to say it's also not the Newport American Folk Festival. It's Newport Folk Festival, mm-hmm. And I think some of that allows to think of, you know, if I were to think, I mean, what name comes out to you, Bob, when you think of, say, Jamaican folk music?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, Bob Marley spoke more about the people, for the people, by the people, than a lot of folk artists who've graced the stage at Newport.
But at the same time, I just spent 2 weeks ago, I spent a week in the mountains of North Carolina, mm-hmm. with my son. He's a fiddler, I'm a guitar player, and we sat and played with some of the best Irish musicians in the world in a thing called the Swannanoa Gathering. It's a place where the Celtically challenged get to learn how to play Celtic music. And there was a woman there, her name's Liz Carroll. She's one of the best fiddlers in America. She plays music, writes music in the Irish tradition. Her family's Irish, but she was brought up in Chicago. And she passes music along the same way you'd think of folk music being passed along. And I bring up the story mainly to say that there is still music that is, in fact, passed along that I would call, without any question, and I think by anybody's definition, would be folk music. That kind of stuff, and, you know, you go to any culture, you mentioned Jamaica, you go to any culture, and there is the folk music of those cultures, which is how the what people thought of as folk festivals back in the day. None of that is represented. Do you just out of hand just say, that's not interesting to us, that's not what we want to do?
Oh, I don't think that at all. I would think something what Richie Havens does or what Steve Earle does or mm-hmm. or even what you know, a Kate Taylor or a Willie Mason, I would gather to say that, well, those people are an acoustic guitar. I mean, Abigail Washburn last year or Gillian Welch this year, or those people are storytellers who talk about, who sing, let's call them, even if they're original, somewhat traditional style songs. And so I think that they are represented at this year's festival. What tends to look at is, the bigger names or the more well-known names that are more well-known in different circles outside of folk music, and wondering how they fit into this picture. Let's use Cat Power as an example, because I think Cat Power has come up in other conversations. To me, Cat Power, who really came up with a guitar playing in pubs,
right?
Whereas, granted, she didn't play in a coffee house, it wasn't like the Gaslight, but a pub in Brooklyn, to me, with just one person with a guitar singing about the trials and tribulations of being a young person, a young woman, living in a city, just because she's doing it at a pub and not a coffee house somehow makes her an indie artist and not a folk artist. I look at someone like a Cat Power as a folk artist because she really speaks to a certain generation outside of the mainstream. I mean, outside. And I think the folk festival itself has always given a stage to people, Bob Dylan, you know, all the way through, say, you know, Tom Morello, a stage in which to speak their mind outside of the normal, what, you know, let's talk way back in the early 60s, a place where they didn't have. That place, except for seeing things in a small thing in the Village, you know, at the Gaslight or some other small folk places, there wasn't this place where everyone could collect and commune together about this, to feel that there was more than just a couple of people in these small pockets, that they were all over the place. And I think someone like, you know, I'm just using someone that maybe a lot of people jump out and say, Cat Power, she's not folk, but what is independent music but not, in some cases, talking to a certain psychographic or demographic, if you want to add that too, about these exact same types of issues that the younger people were, communing to listen to Joan Baez say the same stuff way back when.
One difference, and I think this sort of change happened with folks like Simon and Garfunkel, mm-hmm. Is that folk music went from this thing where people did, in fact, express, but they often expressed a feeling of the people, as opposed to expressing the feelings within themselves. It may be an allegory for how other people think, but it became a very introspective sort of music, something that was reflective of your own soul. And so if you take that change and put it into today's music, then an awful lot of people who sing and make music, the Conor Oberst of the world, are making music that is close to the folk music, quote-unquote folk music, in the late 1960s, what became the definition of folk music. But if you walk yourself back 10 years or 58, or when the folk festival was, you'd be hard-pressed to see that kind of introspection, I think, in the kind of music that was played.
Yeah, I think you're right. Looking at a lot of the artists that we've looked at, is I think we've done a little bit of getting both. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if I look at a Levon Helm, right?
Yeah.
To me, he's one of our great American storytellers.
Absolutely.
And to me, that is, but, you know, is he creating parallel universes to tell stories about miners and let's call him a blue-collar parallel livelihood that I think a lot of us don't really have our hands on anymore, what that means, you know, the dirt farmer, right?
Mm-hmm.
you know, that's kind of, to me, passing on this tradition that we've had, you know, back to Woody Guthrie.
Right.
And I look at a Levon Helm, and I immediately would say, is Levon Helm now a folk artist? You know, or do we say that he is actually, well, because remember, he's the guy that played in the band with Bob Dylan, mm-hmm. When traveling around Europe when he was getting booed and Judas and et cetera, et cetera. So I think, you know, you look at Levon as a perfect example of why I think he's a perfect fit for something like Newport, because he's gone somewhat, say, full circle. When people hear that Jacob Dylan is playing, mm-hmm. I think they immediately think, oh, boy, Wallflowers and One Headlight and this poppy, blue-eyed guy who just happens to have a famous father. If you've listened to his new Rick Rubin-produced album, it's him and an acoustic guitar, very stripped down, you know, very much like what Rick did with Johnny Cash. It's an incredibly moving piece of folk music. And so, I think we also have to look at what these artists are doing now in their career. Let's also talk about the big elephant in the room, which is Jimmy Buffett is playing. And I think when everybody, I think a majority of people, when they hear the word Jimmy Buffett, are thinking Margaritaville and Parrot Heads and et cetera, et cetera. But if people forget that his first couple albums, he was Jimmy Buffett, the folk artist, you know, he was started out as a folk artist. And from what we all have been told, that's what he's coming as. He's coming to Newport Folk, something he's always wanted to do, as a folk artist. And, you know, I for one, am very excited to give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's great. I had no idea that was going to happen. And I saw that name on the bill, and I just thought, how bizarre. I remember all those early Dunhill records and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Well, that is what he is showing up as. So
is there...
until he proves otherwise, you know, that's what I meant, were people really looking. And I look down the list of people who were playing, you know, and I don't think that these leaps are huge leaps of consciousness of what is and what should not be considered. I think there's, a folk or be right for Newport Folk Festival. I'm not claiming that some of these are pure folk music. That's not my intention.
Mm-hmm.
But my intention is to say, do they fill a space that has always been there since the beginning of the Newport Folk Festival? I mean, if you look at, you know, some of the big choruses that have come, you know, blues choruses or gospel choirs that have come to Newport Folk. And what I bring that up, of course, is to have someone like the Young at Heart Chorus.
I don't know the Young at Heart Chorus.
The Young at Heart Chorus is actually a group of people that live in a retirement home. And there's an incredible documentary that did very well on the film festival circuit. It's called Young at Heart. And it basically is a group of senior citizens who get together and to kind of enliven their golden years with song, just to keep them active. What they've picked as their medium to sing are a lot of, say, well-known songs by James Brown, Aretha Franklin, U2. So it's an incredibly moving thing to see, you know, I think the youngest person is 80, getting up there singing about One by U2, or I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2 in this kind of choir, is pretty spellbinding.
I hope when we're 80, I'll probably be 90, you'll be close to 80. We get up there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It's like, hey, you know, why not keep kicking it, right?
Yeah.
Why not keep going for it? And that's something I'm especially really, really looking forward to, from the Young at Heart Chorus, you know, all the way to a Willie Mason, who, you know, not a lot of people know about, but someone who is really, I think, a new voice of his generation.
Jim James obviously will do the solo thing that he did so well at South by Southwest, moving away from his band, and you can hear the core of his songs there. Can you think of any other artists that are going to come there and do something, as you mentioned, more transformed, very different than...
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Jim, because I have to say that having written a lot about My Morning Jacket and have spent a lot of time with Jim James over the last few years, I was unbelievably moved by his performance at the church at South by Southwest, to the point where that was one of the biggest things of asking him to come. Now, people may or may not remember that Jim and M. Ward and Connor have played Newport before under the Monsters of Folk moniker. So Jim's actually been here before. But to have him come back with just him and an acoustic guitar and really let his voice be his main instrument, that's another big highlight for me. But, you know, if you look at something like She and Him, talking about M. Ward and Zooey Deschanel doing their thing, which I think is going to be incredible, especially since it's right up against Jim. And there's been talk of there being some shared time together on
and,
the set.
And let me just interrupt, because at the church concert that was at South by Southwest, which you can hear online at our website, the Jim James portion of it, before that Jim James portion was Matt Ward and Jim James doing stuff together. And it was, unfortunately, we don't have that on the site, but that was a really remarkable moment.
Unbelievable. Wasn't it moving?
Yeah.
I mean, just completely inspirational and made me feel like I wish more people could see them doing this, because it is seeing two artists who I feel are really coming into their own, you know, and kind of taking over, really getting, honing their craft, doing this together and making it seem so natural, like they play together all the time when they had spent no more than, say, 40 minutes in the bus beforehand kind of working some stuff out. It was fantastic. You know, the other thing that I would jump out and say, something that I think is going to be pretty powerful, is actually seeing Trey Anastasio come back to the stage, you know, with an acoustic guitar, someone who's faced a lot of demons over the last couple of years, and someone who's not played live, really, especially coming right after one of his all-time heroes, Richie Havens. Really, just across the board, I'm actually getting myself just talking about this. Very, very excited. I want Saturday and Sunday to come immediately.
For those of you who don't know, Saturday and Sunday from about noon till about 5 o'clock on NPR.org's website, the music portion of it, we will be webcasting live from the Newport Folk Festival, so you can hear a lot of what's going on. There are a couple of stages. There'll be things going on simultaneous, so we'll be at the Harbor stage live, and some of the events that happen at the Fort stage we'll put online later. We'll put them in some of them in podcasts. Many of them we'll archive on the website, so throughout the week you'll see lots of concerts popping up and interviews with a lot of the artists as well. And Jay, if you can, come join us by the stage sometime, and you can join us, and maybe
you and I are going to be shaking our hips out there together, because I think what you guys have got going, everybody should be very excited about what you guys have planned, especially to record, because I think you're really doing some good cherry picking.
Thank you so much, and thanks for doing all the legwork to build up to this. I've never been there before. I will be there on Friday, and look forward to all of
this. Bob, this has been a pleasure of mine, and you know from when we ran into each other that this is something that I've wanted you specifically to come and see it firsthand. So I'm very excited to know that you guys are coming.
Thank you.
All right, Bob. Thanks.
Jay Sweet, much appreciated. And the Newport Folk Festival, August 2nd and 3rd, will be there live with Rita Houston from WFUV. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.